Good evening, everybody. My name is Austin, an alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 1st, 2019. The last time I got sober. I have a sponsor who I talk to almost every day, and been to the 12 steps. And today I'm probably struggling more than I had in a long time. But that is because of the gifts of the program. And because I have an alcoholic mind that continues to tell myself that if I get to a particular point, everything's going to be all right, and I will be able to manage well. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell. I will just talk about my experience, strength, and hope as it pertains to the being exposed to Alcoholics Anonymous when it's not in my life. When I was 16 or 15, I think I went to my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I would leave my friend's house after getting drunk and go to my meeting and get the paper signed. And the people at that group that saw me once a week were very inviting, probably smelled alcohol in my breath. But they spoke to me like everyone else did, you know, like growing up. You know, you're going to be all right. Like, if you just get away from these people, if you stop partaking in these activities, you know, if you get like something that you can put your energy into, you know, you're going to be all right. And that's, you know, that's what my adolescence was like. It was a lot of people who felt sorry for me about my situation. Lost my mom when I was young. I didn't realize how much that impacted me until I got sober. I just saw loneliness and sadness and hopelessness is basically what I saw growing up, you know. And so for me, entertaining myself was certainly going to be a lot cooler than staring out a window. And I did not like seeing, you know, my father stare out a window and be upset, depressed, and dwelling in the past. So that was a good combination for me to really start getting involved in anything that would cause adrenaline or make me feel like, you know, like I was alive. Eventually that turned into to alcohol and anything else that would make me feel the same effects as alcohol. And that's, you know, looking back at like the consequences, you know, in the feeling of guilt, the feeling of shame, the disappointment in my family's faces, stealing from my loved ones, you know, and getting to a point, you know, by the time I was 16 that I was suicidal. I'd lost all hope. You know, I'd been in and out of a couple of different placements for troubled youth. And I just kept hearing people say, like, you know, like, you've just got to change, you know, like, your behaviors. And like, I didn't know how to do that. You know, like, I could do that for a little bit of time, you know, or I could, if I was placed somewhere, you know, I could stay out of trouble, you know, like, I mean, that was like a solution that I ran into. You know, but it was always like, once I got back out, you know, or once I was, you know, like, saw my friends again, got out of the house for a little while, like I would go back to the same thing, you know. Like, and so I was this hopeless, you know, teenage kid who was like just tired of hurting everyone, you know. Like, I was really tired of hurting everyone. I felt useless, and the only information I got from people is like, look, you just need to change your behaviors. So I had no idea how the hell to do that. And by the time I was 19, we had done a geographical move. My father was getting married. We lived in Minnesota, and we got married, and we were moving to Virginia. And like, you know, I'm 17 years old when this was happening, and I'm like so excited to get out of this place that is causing me so much trouble. Like, the police just come to my house. They, you know, like, just like, no one will give me a break here, you know, like, but if I can get far enough away, then everything's going to be all right. You know? So like, by the time I'm 17, I already been, you know, suicidal and just been running away from home and like trying to stay away from these people so I don't continue to break their hearts. I couldn't get off probation for, you know, like, I mean, I got a 3 month bit of probation, and I could not get off of it because I kept on violating the probation with, you know, the decisions I was making, going out and drinking, you know, getting dirty urines and all that stuff. So it was, that wasn't helping. But there was this like bit of hope, you know, like, we've got this new woman in our lives who's going to guide us, who's going to like brings out like a smile in my dad, you know, like finally he's not like depressed all the time, you know, like he seems like he's alive again, you know, like, and and I can get out of this situation where everyone's out to get, you know, like. And so I think it's probably, you know, a couple of days after I got there, I started stealing alcohol from 7-Eleven, you know, and like, and that's what I'm doing. I'm like wandering around trying to meet up with people who can, you know, help me get the stuff that I need. So I'm, you know, like drinking, stealing from the family. And it got to the point where, you know, this stepmother who came into our lives, and was healthier, was like not going to stand up and like stick. She was not going to crumble if I was just going to be like, F and I'm out of here. You know, like, she'd be like, all right, cool. Well, then just do not come back. You know, like, and that was scary to me. You know, like there was someone who actually held me accountable and didn't cower to the games that I was playing. You know, so it's the combination of that. And then like interacting with these new people who like had standards too, which was very strange to me. You know, like they were like, you are a wreck. You know, like you cannot get suspended from school. Come up here. Like all intoxicated, you know. And so there were a lot of signs that like whatever I was doing was not working, you know. And so the stepmom said, you know, like, okay, you're gonna go to treatment, or you know, like you're gonna leave when you're 18. I'm like, don't really care what the hell you do, you know. And I had already seen that I don't have these friends that I'm gonna be able to just go, you know, like are gonna bail me out. You know, like these different people like seem way off to me. I'm not sure what that good problem was. But so okay, I'll go to treatment, you know, like, and I went to treatment to stay away from the consequences. You know, like I knew there was something inside me. I knew there was something wrong with the way I'm behaving, the way I'm acting. You know, but as far as everyone has told me, it's like just change. You know, just hang out with different people, find better hobbies. So that didn't help. You know, like but I go to treatment and they gave me the opportunity to kind of like process some of the stuff, you know, that I'm just like running from for all this time. You know, it gave me the opportunity to start going to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. You know, they took me out of the environment and really helped me look on the inside of what like all my behaviors were doing. And the most important thing is like they forced me to get a sponsor before I left. And so I waited till like the last day, you know, like until cutoff time or whatever it might be. And I asked someone, you know, when we're in the bathroom together, like I'm in a urinal next to him and I'm like trying to make conversation, like shoot him, I don't do something, I'm like, this is, that's it, you know, like I'm done. You know, I was invited to be like one of the first people in the teen side of the like supervised apartments, and you know, like, and by this time I've been in there about 8 or 9 months and my experience has shown that like, okay, I can do good, like if I'm somewhere, you know, like put away, you know, like. But this is the first time that I was like, man, I do not want to get out of here. Like, I'm going to go back to being the same damn guy that I've been all these times, you know, like, and that was like a turning point for me. Cause it's like, I don't have anyone to run back to, you know, like I have felt terrible about myself for all these years, you know, like, and I don't know how to change it. So I'm just going through the motions of what they tell me I need to do to get into the supervised department thing. You know, like I think it was, you know, it's like 18 at the time, maybe 19, you know, I think it was 18. But so I talk to this guy, and, you know, like we make a connection once we get out of the bathroom, everything's good. Like I start meeting with him and him and another, you know, his sponsor. And then like this whole like little group of guys were very into the big book. And they, you know, like they brought me through the big book up to the ninth step. And basically they started explaining, like walking me through, having me like write down definitions. And I had like this big, you know, binder of stuff that I felt like I felt so proud of, you know, like, and the real thing is like, they said, hey, you know, like they tell me what being an alcoholic was, you know, like, and that I have an allergy of the body, you know, like, so in time I will be able to like really understand that a lot more, you know, like, but an 18-year-old who is like so devastated with the decisions I'm making and not being able to change them, you know, they tell me this. And they, you know, help me identify, you know, throughout those first pages, what that means, you know, like, and it's like, once I start drinking, I can't stop drinking, you know, like, that's not what I thought, like, an allergy was going to be, you know, like, I look back at my experience, you know, like, pardon me, you know, like, I know that I want to get to a particular point, you know, like I know that I don't want to get overly sloppy, you know, like, because I want to interact with people and I want to feel comfortable, you know, like, and so like, you know, like, so what happens when you get to that particular point, you know, like, you're asking me like, you know, why don't you stop it? Like, and I don't know, like I'm nervous or like, I just want to like, you know, don't want to miss out on any that I'm going to drink, you know, like, or it's just, you know, like I just see it as like, it's just kind of like a, you know, that's what we do when we're like hanging out, you know, like, and for me, that started to make more sense, you know, like that there wasn't anything in me that's going to stop that. You know, like I look at my experience, that's what happens over and over again. And I'm talking that I've obsession of the mind, you know, like, and so when I'm looking at my current experience and I'm like finally scared to leave this place, you know, like even though in the past, like all these times, I'm like, yes, I'm going to get violated by probation. Yes, I'm going to end up, you know, breaking my dad's heart. You know, like he's going to, you know, he wasn't even arguing or getting upset with me. He would just continue to just like stare. And like that, how hard is that for like an alcoholic mind? He's like, okay, well, what is he really thinking about? You know, like, and to be so young and to like start building these narratives, you know, like because I'm relying so much on myself and what, you know, what I think that I'm going to be able to control and manipulate, you know, then like they, so they talked about that, and they talked about the spiritual malady and just like that hopelessness that I have. You know, like, and you know, I could easily look at that experience. You know, like where I am in this treatment center, like you know, the people around me are like growing up. You know, like they're graduating from high school. You know, like they have hobbies, they have circles of friends that, you know, like they're thriving in life. And like I just can't do that. And like I don't know how to make that happen on a consistent basis. So I work with these guys, and you know, like it was like such a relief, you know, because they tell me, okay, well, this is what you have, you know, like you're screwed, that's it. You know, like I mean, what have you been able to do to fix that? You know, and that's you know, not where they stopped. That's where they said that, you know, there is something we can do, you know, like we have a spiritual program of action, you know, where we can find you a power greater than yourself that's gonna help restore you to sanity and help you live a happy and joyous free life. And for me to like go from this state of hopelessness to like this group of people that are, you know, all about this and like getting new people involved and going through the process, you know, like I'm like finally a good student because I've been such a terrible student, you know, so I'm like, oh yeah, this is fantastic, you know, like, and I really clung on to that, you know, like it became a lifestyle for a couple of years, maybe a year and a half, until I met a girl and I was like, well, this is a cool lifestyle too. And so I had this experience with them. I got to my fourth step, you know, and then I met a girl at work and things get complicated. So I was like, well, this is going to take the back burner, you know, like where I'll fit this in when I can. And I ended up as usual, like burning that to the ground, cheating on her and making a mess out of it. And then going back to this guy and saying, hey man, like I think I really need some more help, you know? And that's been kind of like my story for the last, you know, 15, 18, 20 years, whatever that is, you know, I mean that. For like the last 20 years, you know, is putting in some effort, seeing some results, and then being like, yeah, I think I'm good, or like I can draw back from a little bit of this or a little bit of that. And that's what's put me in the position right now where like I might be doing better than I think I am, but I certainly don't like feel connected with God today. You know, like I don't feel like I'm doing everything the way that I was doing in the past. And I heard someone share the last week. It's like if it's not the same, it's not the same like structure that I had, or you know, like same program that I, you know, was practicing in the past, then it's not good enough. You know, like and for me, that's, you know, like the thing that I get from having contact with people on a daily basis, you know, especially my sponsors, that like the simplification of things, bringing it right back to the big book, you know, because I will complicate the life out of it. I will overthink the hell out of it. And you know, I will convince myself of something completely different than what it is. You know, and that's kind of where I am today. I got to that ninth step with these guys. You know, and this experience was beautiful. You know, like I do this I did that fourth step when I got back. I was like, okay, you know, like obviously like I've got to do something different, you know, because I just go back to the same kind of behaviors. You know, I didn't drink, but it was like, what is the matter if I'm not drinking, if I'm like cheating on someone and I'm like miserable, I'm like, you know, like just acting reckless as hell. So I go back to them, you know. He said, okay, I'm like, you know, I've got a guy that, you know, I just finished working through steps, so he'll do your fourth step with you, you know, like, and so we went through the columns in there, you know, looked at my resentments. We We looked at how it impacted me, looked at where I was to blame or what my part in it was. We had the fear inventory, sex inventory, and I did not do a harms inventory. And then my most recent one, I did do that with some different guidance. But I did what these guys instructed me to do, and I got back in that crowd of people. And for me, that's like, it's where I felt the most comfortable. Like, I never felt a part of anything, like aside from, family, but really, it was just a beautiful experience. We ended up going to this little motel, it's like rent by the hour, me and this other guy. And it's just like a funny experience. And we did it in two sittings, and we had like a meal in between. And I did feel that freedom and that closeness with God at the time. I did. I felt like, like a burden lifted from, an entire, 20 years, of just being like so compressed with everything that I thought I had to figure out. I felt that relief. And we worked on, we looked at the sixth and seventh step. As I was going through the fifth step with him, he was writing down this list of character defects, and I'm like, how did he have so many more than I like identified myself? I can't believe this guy. And I thought, like, at the end, it was kind of this experience where he's like, oh, you did such a fantastic job, Austin, and praise me for it, because I did such a thorough job, and that is also another like underlying defect of mine. So like, I think I deserve some kind of praise, or like if I check something off the list, then like, good, we're done. Move on from that, so I started my amends with these guys, and I got some very specific direction on note cards on the people that I've harmed, what I'm going to say to them, the ways I've harmed them. And I approached multiple people in the Virginia area, and did those amends, and there was a lot of freedom with that. But I also had a lot of amends in Minnesota, because that's where I grew up, and that's where I, did a lot of the damage. So I was at this point where I was like, man, I want to move back. This is what I need to do. And I make a lot of life decisions with an alcoholic mind. So that's what I did. And there was some benefit in that. I did some amends, and then like there was a couple that like turned into like these really good relationships, that I had temporarily, that I had caused these people harm, and like ended up coming to me and like thinking that I have like some kind of like assistance that I can give them, like, or just like listening, they can confide in me. There was a really cool relationship that sprung from that, which is, like I thought, like, I'm this jerk who goes in and tries to bully someone, smaller than me, because I feel like the small person all the time, like, and to see something like that occur, was very unexpected, like, and that's what Alcoholics Anonymous offers us, is there's so many things that I'm so convinced of, and if I get out of the way and ask someone else's direction and get some guidance from someone else, then it's like, wow, that's really what happens, So I did some of these amends, and I'm like going to some meetings, but I'm not finding this group of guys that I had in Virginia, and I'm like judging everyone, I'm pulling back, and eventually I just realized that I wasn't an alcoholic, and it was just like bad timing. I was young, and I shouldn't have, like, now that I'm much more mature and I've got like this spiritual program that I can kind of lean on with what I'd like to lean on, kind of like disregard the rest. I stayed dry for a little while, and I ended up convincing myself that, I can do dry forms of alcohol, because then it's not alcohol. Then I'm all right, everything's good, and I can manage that and control that much better. And that led to drinking eventually, not too long. And then like, just, I didn't have like the consequences I had as a teenager, I didn't have the, I didn't cause as much damage, so it was easy to lie to myself for a while to be like, yeah, like I ended up moving back to Virginia. I've done a lot of moving back and forth from Minnesota to Virginia. Done a lot of, I went to Montana once. I did like a traveling magazine job to stay away from drugs. That was alcohol. That didn't work. I tried that, but that didn't work. And basically, by the time I really started drinking again, I had started like a job or a career. I met the woman that I wanted to spend my life with. I had a daughter, who this woman already had a 6-year-old when I met her. And I was able at the time to put down, the drinking, like on some holidays I might, go on a little bender, but I have this person here, this higher power that's going to be like, oh no, Austin, you can't do that. So if I have like in probably about 85, 90% of the time that I did drink, I would either end up sick or try to fight someone and, or just be a complete ass. So that's been my experience with drinking like a, like a non-alcoholic was not so much the case. So since I had this these guardrails, I for the most part I could stay away from it or only get in the doghouse here and there. And that was my experience for about 9 years. And because I was so unhappy and so unable to be a person who could speak what's going on with him instead of a man who was spiritually sick and living as an alcoholic without alcohol, I ended up cheating on this woman, destroying my family, and then immediately going to drinking around the clock. And that's that's where everything went downhill, and everything that I had gained out of this book and learned became more and more real over those next five years or so. And what my experience with that looked like was that I abandoned my kids. I destroyed this relationship that I had for 9 years. Just had a 7 month oh, we had a 7 month old when I'm going to this mistress's house and sleeping with her. I brought my daughter a couple of times, and I endangered her because she lived with her fiance. And so I destroyed the family. And I can't do anything but drink. Like she would let me come over to the house, but I couldn't not drink and drive. I'm driving a forklift at Costco. So I'm drinking and driving on the street. So then I'm going to work and I'm drinking and driving a forklift. And that's again, like where, I'm gonna fix it by doing dry alcohol, and that works during the day, but at night then I'm just drinking, that I'm just sick every day. And in the back of my head, I know there's this solution. I know Alcoholics Anonymous is here. Like I got to a point where I couldn't afford living close to my children, and so I moved back to Minnesota. And that's what I thought my only option was, because I have to manage this. I have to have alcohol in my life. I cannot let that go, because my dad would have done anything to keep, stay there with his kids, and I can't even do that as a man. I couldn't ask for help with this relationship. I couldn't just speak openly with someone about what was bothering me. I had to like stare out the window like my dad did and just be like, all right, well, cool, forget it. I'm gonna bomb this. That will make sure that we're not gonna get back together again. Like that all or nothing, this drastic ridiculousness. And so I moved back to Minnesota. I've left my kids, and I just cannot stop drinking. Like I say, I'm gonna move back for 6 months so I can get myself together. My dad was ill. He was passing away, so I got to spend that time with him. And it was beautiful to spend that time with him. Probably would have been better sober, but there was some real good times there. And it really made me feel in my heart that, now I gave up my kids, and now I don't have either parent. Now I'm just this lost guy just drinking. And so I did burn my life to the ground as quickly as possible. I got a couple of DUIs. 11 months, I got two DUIs. The second one, because I crashed both times. I'm not a very good drunk driver. Crashed both times. I got busted, and I drove drunk a lot of the time, so it's not like those were the only two times, but I did crash both times. I got busted, and the officer came to me and I'm just like, man, I'm just so done. Like, I just got one of these, you know? And like, I think I went to court a few days before that for not having like tagged or something. It's something simple that you know, like, is so overwhelming to me when I'm drinking. And when I'm sober sometimes, if I'm not trusting a God, I'm looking for help. But when I go and I got that cleared, you know, I paid it. We're good. They say, all right, thank you. And then I meet with my sisters and my brother and my aunt, and we were selling our dad's house. You know, we fixed it up. We had $17,000, which is more than I've ever had, you know. And my kids know that I'm moving back on Valentine's Day. You know, like, I had my 2 weeks notice in at work. Like, everything's good. And I say, you know what? I think I'm going to go out and go shoot pool and drink tonight. My sister said, what the hell are you talking about? You know, like, dude, you're drunk already. I said, yeah, but, you know, like, I should celebrate. You know, like, I mean, in this, like, absolutely no logical sense, you know, like, but I go and celebrate with these guys, and I'm having a great time with them. I'm not sure if they're having a good time with me, but, you know, like, and I leave to go, you know, to a club that I don't go to these clubs, but I'm driving the opposite direction and towing my car, you know. And so this officer, you know, comes to get me and brings me in. And like, I was just like, dude, I cannot do this anymore. Like, this is horrible. Like, I know that there's a solution. You know, like, I know that there's a way out of this. Like, I've had experience with it. I've felt like the freedom, and that doesn't matter. You know, like, having that knowledge and knowing that it's there did absolutely nothing for me in this like hopeless state of mind where like, I don't want to be like this, but I just can't not pour a drink when I get home at 5. You know, like, I'm being good until then, or whatever it is I tell myself, all the different things. So when the judge saw me and said, you know, you think you have a problem? I said, yes, that's absolutely. I know I have a problem. You know, he said, so I'd like you to do outpatient treatment. And I said, yeah, it's awesome. I need that, you know. And I was very eager for it. I was so eager that I waited 364 days before I got violated again. And then I started my outpatient treatment, you know, because I don't want to go in there like those guys who are just faking. That's ridiculous. Like, I have to really be ready to stop drinking, you know. So having hope and knowing that there is like an experience that I've had, knowing there's a place to go and that like there will be freedom, that didn't stop me. You know, like, that was like, okay, well, you know, like, yeah, maybe tomorrow, you know, like, maybe tomorrow I'll do that. But I did sign up, and like, I'll tell you, like, this 6 months that I went out to Minnesota that turned into like 2.5 years, within 7 months of sobriety, like, I was moving back with my family and back out here in Virginia. I found a sponsor. You know, like, I'm going to these meetings. I'm living with my sister, who drinks quite a bit. My brother drinks quite a bit. Like, there's like, I didn't change environment. I changed atmosphere. Like, I knew in my heart, like I'm an alcoholic. Like, there's nothing that's going to fix me other than coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, like, that had been my experience. You know, and I had also known that it doesn't matter. Like, if I'm like, I had the hope that if I'm around this stuff, that doesn't matter either, you know. And I you know, like, that was just my truth. But I, you know, I was given the opportunity to move back, and I went back and forth a little bit with my kid's mom. But what we decided is that, you know, like, now's a good time. I wasn't really prepared, and I didn't really run it by anyone that I was talking to. Was like, I don't know, maybe you want to like have a little bit of money to spend before you go. Like, I don't think that's probably a wise idea. But again, like, it's like, but I'm gonna make this work. Like, I'm sober, I'm on my ninth step, you know, no better time to travel than on a ninth step. And I'm not sure why I didn't realize that it's like twice that I've traveled on a ninth step. I'm like, this is gonna be the one. You know, but I had, you know, I was going to meetings. I had a sponsor I met with once a week, and then saw him at a couple of meetings I went to. You know, I was working the steps actively with him. You know, we'd gone up to the eighth and ninth step, and I came out to Virginia and try to get plugged in. My kids and their mom live in Winchester, so that's where we went to. And there's a really good recovery community in Winchester. You know, like, if you go in and interact with people, if you get sponsorship out there, and if you work the steps and implement them in your life, very good recovery out there. like there is anywhere that the big book is. But I'm like trying to make up time, you know, like I'm making up time. I left these people for all this time and they need me here. Like I'm a much better man today because, you know, I'm working the steps again. I'm praying on a daily basis, you know, like, and I know how to fix this. If I can just accept everything about her, you know, like and adjust myself to that, then everything is going to be fine, you know? And I'm like so blind to this, you know, like, I don't think it was until like a year after we separated that I was like, man, that was not working. You know, like talk about the actor in here, you know, like even though my motives sometimes are good, kind, and, you know, like seem charitable, like this is not like, yes, if you're going to fall in line with the fact that like, I need a couple of things out of life and then I'll bring a lot of good to your life, whatever it is that I tell myself, you know? So there's been a lot of struggle and this has been like the last, 5 and a half, 6 years, 6 years almost. Notice I have not been sober that whole time. I did go on a couple of benders, a couple separate benders. And first time I was able to stop because I was scared, you know, they're back in town. They went out of town for a week and I thought about it for 3 days. And since I'm not going to meetings on a regular basis, I don't have a sponsor, you know, unsponsorable person, you know, like I'm trying to rely on yesterday's experience or listen to a speaker tape here and there. And like, that's going to, you know, funny thing about like speaker tapes is like, I'm very moved and compelled by them. But like, if it like during the pandemic or on my commutes, I'll listen to the speaker tapes and I'm like, damn, man, I didn't do those steps. That's what I'm talking about. You know, like, and I'm like all inspired. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get to that soon. I'm going to find someone to walk me through this again. And that's, you know, so, love those, but that's not like living the steps of my life, you know, that's not at all what it is. It's getting a little motivation or kicking my ass to like, hey, yeah, I want to be like that, you know, like that's what I want to be like. And those are the people that I'm attracting today are people like who are living the steps, you know, who like when I bring something to them will be like, oh, well, you know, like it says it here, it says it there, you know, like simple, Austin, you know, simple, not easy, but like, you know, who are you talking about, you know? And I need that, you know. I've had I ended up checking myself in a hospital after being 9 months dry, you know, maybe a meeting here or there. And I was so frustrated with this situation that was not like molding to what I'd like to do, you know? That's, you know, the self-reliance like failed me miserably. Like I ended up in the hospital, depressed, suicidal again, you know, after, I mean, getting up to the ninth step, but then like, just kind of like slow walking back, you know, when I got out, in 2020, I think, you know, it was in 2020, I got out and I got a sponsor, you know, and I had two sponsors that I was not utilizing at all, prior to that, you know, in the first year and some change that I was here. But this was like another eye-opening experience. You know, it was like, okay, like it doesn't matter what I'm bringing to things. You know, like I need God. You know, and I got really involved. I was separated. I was living in an Oxford house. Like I really thrive when I have like a community of people. You know, and I know that, and I will still walk away from that at times. Or minimize the access I had to that. But I get out there and I'm like, get a sponsor, you know, the first meeting I went to and started meeting with him on a regular basis, you know, and I'm talking to him as much as I could have, but like we met every week, we went through the steps. And it was a different experience. Like we went through the 12 and 12 and like, I've been so obsessed since this first group of guys. I'm like, we've got to do it a particular way. You know, like even my sponsor in Minnesota, before I moved back here, was it like the complete opposite, where it was like so lax and like, it's okay, we'll do whatever you think we should do it, you know, and I need something, I need someone stronger than that or whatever it is I'm telling myself. But those were both opportunities with those sponsors to see it from a different perspective, you know, like, and it, you know, to reassure that I don't really know what the hell I need, you know, like, I mean, I just need to, just following some direction gives me a little humility and a little bit of an open mind. And that's really what I need, you know, like, I mean, there is a clear set of instructions and like, if I'm not the one running the show, then things typically do turn out to be a lot better. So I work with him, and I've been back and forth with I ended up getting married to this my kid's mom. We got divorced and separated and divorced again in a pretty short period of time. And that too was an opportunity where I really was I met I was suggested by my sponsor to talk to this other guy, and I was like, yeah, I'll probably do that. And I really, like, yeah, if I run into him, I'll do that. Like, I wasn't like, yeah, I got his number. I'm like, but he started reaching out to me, and like, he had the ex he had very similar experience, or at least like he could see some of the things that I was struggling in with that, and at this point, yeah, like the relationship that I really wanted didn't work out, but like I had some peace with it because, I'm working with a sponsor, like I'm doing 11 step in the morning, like I'm praying, I feel connected, I'm chairing a couple of meetings, I'm trying to help a couple of guys through the steps, and like honestly, I feel like things are really good, and I start noticing in my life that, like I have all this anxiety at work, like my kid's mom were like trying to work with each other, and then it kind of shifts into like, now, dude, we're not working with you anymore, Austin. And so there's obviously some things going on inside of me, that I'm kind of just like scraping over the surface, like, and it's very easy to see how much more beautiful life has gotten since I got sober, and to be like involved in a community of people that I know I can go to, who are going to understand me, and who are going to like accept me for who I am, and give me some advice and encouragement, that is one thing. And another thing is like leaving the rooms, and like, how am I really interacting with people? Like, what am I seeing in other people? What are they seeing in me? And like, am I expecting that they're gonna give me some kind of free pass because I made an amends? Like, I mean, is that really what I'm thinking? A nice step is. And that's where I kind of got to about a year ago, like where it's like, all right, cool, like, yeah, you've been through the steps, you're doing, like chairing a couple meetings, like, but how are you feeling? Like, are you comfortable? Are you like okay with yourself? And can I say that? No, I'm not okay with myself. I mean, circumstances, like outside circumstances, or like going to a good meeting, or having a good conversation with someone, or like feeling like I'm plugged into God is, if I just kind of like skate by, like, yeah, sure, doing great, I'm like, I will scrape by everything, but what's really going on inside me, and like having someone to try to try to help me like really be aware of what's going on inside of me, instead of me just kind of like skating by in sobriety, like checking my steps off the list, like, yeah, I'm involved in this, I'm doing that, I went to the conference last time, and what was the hell, man? Like, I mean, obviously I'm doing good, and that's like the more and more that we can uncover, and like the deeper I can go on to what's really going on inside of me, I think is like, it's been really hard, like, I mean, it's been very hard for me. There's been times that, like, I'll say if things are going really well, I can be grateful, like, and if things are going poorly, like I can be grateful, or like, I can really push and try to connect with God, or like do a little extra work, like, but if things are just average, like they're just normal, like there's not really anything out of the ordinary going on, like then I'm like, I will overthink stuff, I will insert all sorts of garbage, and that's been a big challenge for me this last year. It's like overthinking everything with an alcoholic mind, who knows what else is going on, and just being like so full of fear. Like I mentioned that I just got remarried. I just got remarried to my ex-wife, on and off relationship for about 20 years. Got a couple of beautiful kids, and we spent about 5 or 6 hours this last 24 hours talking in circles about stuff, and that was has not been comfortable. We got to think about like my next step experience, and what my current sponsor say to me, like 20 or 30 years of drinking, will make a skeptic out of anything. Like that first time I did my amends, I had no problem listening to what she wanted to say after. Like my sponsor at the time said, give it like 45 minutes to talk, or like whatever. Like, I mean, this is not, first of all, it took a while to get to the amends that she wanted to hear, after 15 years of the harm that I caused. But once it came, like that experience was like so easy to be open, to be empathetic and understanding, you know, at the moment. Maybe a couple of times after that, you know, like, but at some point, like, this got to stop. You know, you can't keep bringing this stuff up, you know, like, and that's another example where, like, I'm thinking of it as like a checklist, you know, like it's not what it is, you know, like, I can't just, you know, like when the tornado, like when the wind stops blowing, any grand, the wind stops blowing. I don't see any of the trouble, anything, trouble here, you know, like just getting sober, you know, like, or me, like, thinking that I'm working, like I've worked the 12 steps, I'm chairing a couple of meetings, you know, like I'm engaged with kids a lot more than those in Minnesota, you know, like, I mean, that's like the low bar that I was okay with setting is, you know, like, it's just not enough, you know, it's really just not enough today, you know, like, and so we got remarried and my sponsor was like, you sure you want to do that? You know, like, it's kind of fast, man. You know, like I went from being cut off from my children for 8.5 months to being invited to Disney. And I called my sponsor. I said, that is a terrible idea. I was like, there's no way. Like, we're getting along on the phone recently. So this is a good opportunity. You should try this. You know, like, it's a great opportunity to get closer to God. Okay, I won't trust you on this. You know, like, and I did a lot more trusting him before I, like, tried to, like, be the actor again. And, like, be okay with the way someone might talk to me, or have a low bar with the way that I might react to someone who's like, we've had this conversation about how I've hurt you. Like, I mean, what are we talking about again? You know, like, but where am I really being loving and tolerant towards all? You know, like, and where am I standing up for myself in a kind and loving way instead of, you know, like fighting it like a defiant child? You know, like, I think that, you know, like, taking these principles, you know, into the relationships that are closest with us, you know, like, and bring it to, you know, other people who can help instead of being so, can, you know, like so stuck on what I need to do to make sure that I don't cause the same pain that I caused before, you know. And for me, like, going back on this journey with her is like, just brought out all the fears, you know, like all the fears and all the control, all the defiance that I just identified on a fourth step with him, you know, 6-8 months ago, you know, like, and for me, like the biggest struggle is keeping it simple and like taking a step back and not thinking that my way is right, despite all the information that I've gathered over the years and all the experience that, you know, like, my self-knowledge is not going to change it. The consequences aren't going to change it. You know, like, I'm not going to come up with a different path to success. You know, like, I've tried all those different paths to success. And there's one that's, like, really pretty simple and very cool. And I just have to follow that, you know, like, so that's kind of what my experience has been with that. I'd say with God, I got to that point, you know, I finished the, you know, the ninth step and did 10, 11 and was trying to work 12, with my sponsor. And like, I'm in this lousy, I mean, like this difficult relationship. And like the only piece that I found is like in the morning, you know, like I would read a couple pages in there. I would pray, you know, sometimes I would write. And that was like, when I had that habit, you know, like followed that direction that my sponsor gave me, then like anything else that came into life was usually, you know, like responded to instead of like reacted to. And that was a very calm, peaceful time in my life, even though things were not going the way that I wanted them to, you know? And then there was times when I thought, like, if I look at the checklist, everything's going really well, you know, like, I'm in this great environment with all these people, and I'm, like, in love with the fellowship, you know, like, but what of the, you know, one of the steps am I really putting in my life other than, like, I want to get someone to admit they're alcoholic and let's get to a fourth step, let's get them, you know, like, well, you know, like, and that's, you know, like, that's all that, you know, chairing my meetings, trying to be like feeling like I'm useful at this Oxford house that I was in, and like working with a couple of new guys, and like I felt like life was really good until like I realized that like there was so much more going on inside. So that for me, like that is I wish that that wasn't bothering or impacting me so much this last year, but it certainly has been. Like, but the beauty of it is that there's probably something different will come out of it. Like my perspective on it is probably not really what it is. And I do have a sponsor that I talk to pretty much every day. Like, there's some other outside help that I'm gonna get that's like will definitely be beneficial. And that's what he tells me. It's like we go through the steps so we can find a power greater than ourselves, so we can be comfortable and care about ourselves enough to like get whatever help we need. And I don't know what that looks like. And for so long that I've been like this first exposure that I had to these guys, when I was 18 or 19 years old, like I want to relive what that is, like I want to relive that experience that I had. And so like my alcoholic mind is like, that's the only thing that's going to work. And so I've done so much resistance along the way to get to a surrender and sobriety where it's like, it doesn't matter if I'm sober, like, if I'm still like trying to run the show, like I'm not practicing the spiritual program of action. And I really, really I had a beautiful moment of surrender this morning, and it wasn't because I like forced myself into it. It was because things were super uncomfortable, and I realized that I'm just talking in circles and I'm not going to change anyone's mind. Education through straight stubbornness, so I don't know. Alcoholics Anonymous has changed my life. Like I, I'm not as connected to God as I wanted to be. I'm not what I think that I need to be. At 4.5 years sober, but I am so far from where I used to be. Like on that, the guy who like had no idea how to change. The people he's hanging around, and no idea how to like be that person there that is happy and comfortable. Like to be a person, I know that there's hope. Like I know that this worked with my drinking problem, and I'm convinced that it will work with any other problem that comes my way. I don't feel like that all the time, but I definitely believe in that in my heart, and that's the kind of people, was to my sponsor or something, like we're not arriving anywhere, like we're trudging the road to happy destiny, like we're not getting there. And really for me, like it's a every day is a day that I got to try to get out of the way and try to allow God to come in so I can, receive whatever it is that He has in store for me. I'm so close to that. I appreciate you guys being out here. I'm so grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm totally
okay.